Welcome back to Entertainment Talk. Today I'm here to do another video game review. This is going to be for South of Midnight, which I played and have now finished on Xbox Series X via Game Pass. I'm your host Matthew, and we're going to start off spoiler free. There will be a spoiler section later on, but we're going to start off spoiler free, go into our rating system. We've got strong must play, don't skip, possible skip, skip, and hard skip. I've given it a little bit of thoughts, given it some time, and I can't think of a reason I shouldn't, and I can think of a lot of reasons that I should give this a strong must play and a 10 out of 10. I friggin' love this game. I love this game a lot. Now, I really, really liked it a lot up until chapter 9. There's 14 chapters, by the way. And then the game just kept getting better. It kept getting better and better. The story starts to get to, you know, interesting places. Not that it takes up to chapter 9 to get to interesting places, but the things that have been set up and the seeds that have been planted, things started paying off, is what I'm trying to say. And what just caps this off as a really, really lovable experience. I love the ending of this game. I really, really love the ending of this game a lot. There is also a post-credit scene as well, so for those of you that haven't played it, I don't know if you press skip when the credits come up, if it skips the post-credit scene, but you can press X for speed up, and then you'll see the nice little post-credit scene as well. But that just... And obviously I'll talk about it in the spoiler section. I love the way that this game ended. And I wasn't sure, like, leading up into that moment, how I wanted the game to end. I got a sense of where it might go. And it went in a similar place to where I thought it would go. But it actually executed the ending better than I thought it was going to. Even though I wasn't quite sure what the ending was going to look like, if they were going to try and set up a sequel. There is no real sequel set up here, and I'll just say right now that, okay, if we don't get a sequel, which I don't think is likely, because I don't think the game did all that well, which is a big shame, and I'll talk about that in a minute, I am very perfectly fine with leaving the story there, because I can just have the really great memories that I have of this game. I'm going to start off with a big piece here. Now, if I'm reviewing something, it doesn't have to be a game, just because the thing I'm about to mention is also a video game. If I mention this particular title while I'm experiencing something, a different story, and it reminds me of this particular title, it means that whoever's made the thing has done a very, very good job. And this didn't happen, granted, until the ending did kind of happen, but there was also, like, themes similar to it throughout about, like, what pain does to people and grief and all that kind of stuff. It made me think of The Last of Us. Not remotely in a way, I'm not trying to compare this game to The Last of Us, because it's very, very different to The Last of Us. I mean, 1 and 2 and, you know, the seasons and whatever, the world of The Last of Us. I don't mean in the same way as, like, a third-person cover shooter, if that's how you want to describe Last of Us. Not in that sort of way. The gameplay is a third-person action game, but not in that way at all. Just in terms of some similar story beats, there's a particular line that I noticed near the end which reminded me of the game, and certain themes throughout it as well. Again, the kind of... like humanity, empathy, again, what loss and grief and pain will do to a person, that is sown throughout this game, and I think they did a fantastic job with it. You know, I was sitting there watching the credits roll and was obviously thinking about the game because I'd just finished it, loving the ending, listening to the soundtrack, and just, you know when you finish a game and you sit there in the moment and you kind of, unless it's a game that you hated, and, you know, you press skip credits and you hit the home screen, whatever, and you uninstall, probably. But this is a game that I love, so I didn't do that, obviously. And you're sitting there and you're thinking about what you've just played. And I also really like as well when a game's credits are rolling and you get little like screenshots of some of the things that have happened throughout the story, and it just reminds you of certain moments and all that kind of stuff. So it does that a lot as well. I can't think of anything I actually disliked about this game, which is interesting because there's one thing this game does, and it does it very obviously, but for maybe the first time ever, I mean, I've played a lot of games. I've not finished every game I've ever played, but I've played a lot of games. I don't remember a game doing this, and it not only not being a problem, and it wasn't a good part of the game, but it made sense, is this game is incredibly repetitive, and some of it, that's going to put some of you off possibly, and I noticed it in like the first quarter of the game. There's a particular loop to the gameplay, and you do a lot of the same set pieces over and over again. But I didn't find myself bored by them. I didn't sort of like, oh God, here's this next bit, and then this next bit, and then, whatever. Because, and it's really well done in this sense, because of what's happening in the story, and specifically what Hazel is doing, and how that's all clicking together, and what's going on with the characters, it made a lot of sense. And again, it's very rare, if ever, that I've ever played a game and, that, but particularly for a story game. Obviously, if I'm playing something like FIFA, it's games of football, games of football, games of football. If I'm playing COD or something like that, it's round after round after round of shooting, reviving, jumping, doing whatever I'm doing. Obviously, there's a repetitive nature there, but you're aware of that when you're going to do something like that. But something smart that they started doing with it in the, I'd say more the second half of the game, is you're still doing the same loop of gameplay, but then they come out with like slightly new enemies, different sort of bits and pieces that get weaved into the gameplay, and I no noticed that pretty much straight away and thought, okay, this is the kind of fresh part that you're putting into the gameplay, but you are doing the same thing over and over again. Now again, it's not one of the game's, I guess it is one of the game's strengths really, if I'm talking about it like that, but it's not one of the things I'll remember this game for, in terms of like, I love the story, I love the characters, I think the gameplay itself is very, very satisfying. That also obviously helps going through the gameplay loop, is the fact that the combat and the traversal, parkour, whatever you want to call it, is very smooth and very, very satisfying. Particularly the traversal I found to be really, really satisfying as well. But the gameplay also is really satisfying as well. So I suppose if I'm doing two things, which is gameplay, which is combat and traversal, and they both feel really good to do. Plus when like new bits get weaved into the traversal, and then obviously you get like your upgrade tree and things like that, and then Hazel gets new abilities, and you start combining those together. Now, I'll still maintain what I said on last week's gaming talk. I do think that the and maybe it might just be me, maybe some of you who play this kind of get the gist of the gameplay quicker than I did, maybe. But it did take me a minute to kind of, okay, I don't know if I'm playing this right. I don't think it's the game's fault as to why I'm like getting hit too much. And I didn't die hardly ever, really. I put it on the middle difficulty, I put it on moderate or whatever it was called. Came pretty close to dying a few times, but I think I might have died by accident like once or twice, but I didn't feel like I wasn't challenged either, because I did nearly die so many times. And it's when you do the unweave mechanic and you get healed, like, right, if I can quickly finish off that enemy, unweave them, get a bit of health, then try and like, finish off the next low health enemy, and there's the great gameplay loop there. But what I'm actually talking about is once you get your, I'll say, top button mechanics, and you figure out them, as well as like the dodging and when to dodge and when to hit and when an enemy's going to do a certain thing, and getting into a certain rhythm. Once I started getting used to it, which again, admittedly, wasn't until sort of the second half of the game, and then obviously I was unlocking more things and making certain abilities stronger, it really, really started to click quite well. And I again, I just loved it more and more. I just think from chapter 1 to chapter 14, this game just gets better as you go through. The combat's incredibly satisfying. The traversal's really fun. I love the. I haven't talked about the world and stuff yet, have I? So I've just kind of talked about gameplay. I really like the world here as well. I just want to read a description for a moment. It says, South of Midnight is a 2025 action-adventure game developed by Compulsion Games and published by Xbox Game Studios. The game is set in a fictionalized American Deep South, and then says about its release date, which back in April. So it says Deep South, fictionalized American Deep South. Fits quite well with what this story is doing, fits well with the characters, it fits well with, like, the world that you're going through and how the sort of traversal is set up as well, particularly with, like, the swampy waters and all that kind of stuff. I thought that was great. One other thing I want to talk about with traversal as well is, so this game is very, very, very linear. Kind of in the way the Uncharted games are, a little bit similar to that, although Last of Us is kind of linear as well, at least until you get to the second game where things are a bit more open. But what it will have is sort of, because through the accessibility options, which, by the way, I thought were very, very good, I didn't use all of them, because I didn't need all of them, luckily. But I used a lot of the navigation ones. That's probably because I recently finished 7 Rebirth, and I thought the navigation in 7 Rebirth was... I'm talking about Final Fantasy. 7 Rebirth was pretty terrible, so I was like, okay, I want some better navigation options when I play this game. And you can, simply click in the right stick, and it will give you a literal line to follow, and you can do that, but then you can go off the beaten path a little bit. There's like one or two paths usually. It's not like a massive open area. Doesn't feel overbearing to kind of go and get these. You get these little light things where you traverse part of the level and you pick it up. It gets you some points, and then once you get enough points, you can get a skill tree upgrade, and you can choose from those from what you like. And there's a few different branching bits and pieces, so that was really good. But it was just very satisfying to kind of, like, you can just run through this game. I mean, you might be at a bit of a disadvantage because you won't have your certain upgrades if you don't, and I didn't end up unlocking all of them, but that was fine. But I just liked this sort of, I don't know, it felt, and I don't mean this in a way to put this game down at all, it felt nice and simple sometimes. Like, sometimes you just don't need to make things complicated when you make a video game. You don't have to just, like, put too many different systems in, and obviously, you know, RPGs can be more complicated and more grindy, but it was just nice to play something that was a bit more, and again, when I say simple, I mean just, it just had a nice loop to it, this game, and it didn't feel overbearing to get through. It didn't feel like I was going to play it forever. I think the pacing of this game is actually really quite good. All of the chapters come to kind of a good natural stopping point as well, and you can kind of feel a little bit when you're coming towards the end of a chapter, and you'll get like the little book things and all that kind of stuff. So that was really great. But I really like the world and the characters a lot. I like this setting for this game. Didn't think I wasn't going to, but it fits well with what they're doing. I thought the animation style fit what they were doing quite well. It took me a minute to adjust to that, because sometimes it did look a little bit like it was stuttering, but I don't think it was that. I just think it was this sort of stop motion kind of thing that they're doing, which you don't see a lot of games doing, actually. So that was pretty good. But I tell you what, even for like the art style of this game and the sort of stop motion nature of it, some cutscenes do look really good here still. And again, not the biggest visuals person, not going to suddenly pretend that I am for the sake of this game, but that doesn't mean I can't recognize something that looks good when it's put in front of me. But yeah, that could have been a bit of a challenge, but it looked artful, it looked nice, it looked clean. Again, you do have the bit of the stuttery nature to it, but that's just part of what it is. But it never felt like annoying or like it got in the way or anything. So yeah, the cutscenes here are really quite great. Some decent like facial animation stuff going on. Voice acting's pretty good as well for the most part. It's interesting with the that's something I want to talk about as well. The voice acting and kind of dialogue here. I can't remember the last time I experienced a piece of media that had, at times, quite simple, quite straightforward dialogue, but it'd be delivered well enough to where you still felt it. Because the script here at points is really good. There's about 10 to 20% of this script that, like, packs a punch, and then the other 80% is kind of Hazel saying things as she's going through. But the script didn't feel like it needed to be stronger. It felt like it was doing, and I don't mean like, oh, it was barely doing enough just to kind of get itself through. It didn't feel, it's kind of reminded me of Sinners in a way. Sinners is a recent, obviously, film that's come out. And something that Sinners does really well, again, totally different to this, just comparing it in a particular way. Something that Sinners does really well, and Sinners is fantastic, I've obviously reviewed that as well, so you can check it out as well if you want to. Sinners didn't feel like it tried too hard to be good. And felt, I remember describing it as quietly awesome, and I'll still stick to that. And this game, while I wouldn't describe it as quietly awesome in the same way, although I do love this game a lot, it doesn't feel like it tries too hard to be too good. Like, it just gets on with itself, and it just kind of doesn't hang about. I didn't feel like this game was wasting time at any point or kind of lingering. So the pacing here is really quite great, because again, once you get through like a few gameplay sections, you then get like a bit more of a like bigger cutscene, and then you can start to feel when you're getting towards the end of a chapter, and then like the start of the next one feels like kind of not the start of a new story, but definitively the start of the next chapter. So it was very satisfying when like the book thing comes up and it shows you the number of the next chapter, and it always kind of felt like a natural next point of the story. So I thought it did that really well. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, the script at times does feel simple, and the voice acting, I think, is very, very good. But I don't feel like the script needed to be better or try harder or whatever else, because it just gets on with it with itself. But then when it does have that sort of 20%, and 20% might sound like a low number, but this game is kind of short. But again, I didn't feel like the game was like too quick or too long. It felt like it was sort of just the right pace. When that 20% does come around, and it does give you those more hard-hitting moments and delves deeper into its themes and stuff, that's when it's more excellent. But that doesn't necessarily mean the other 80% needed to be excellent, because it was doing great with what it was doing, and I didn't feel like it needed to kind of try harder. So it was an interesting one, because I do always say kind of, no matter who you kind of hire or what cast you have, your 101 is your script. If your script isn't good enough, then you're either going to be relying on really great acting or an interesting premise or something. But then if your script just isn't good enough for a certain thing, that will just weigh the rest of your product down. But I don't feel like that happened here at all, because, again, I said I love this game. So I must feel like me saying the script didn't need to try harder is almost like a backhanded compliment, but that's not what I'm trying to do either. So, what else do I want to talk about here? Talking about the gameplay, you've got like wall running stuff, you've got like a jump and sort of boost thing going on. Kind of reminded me a little bit of, not in the same gadgety sense, but like a Ratchet and Clank sort of thing. When you're jumping and boosting and wall riding, and then still doing those things. And then there's, should I mention that other gameplay piece? No, it's a bit of a spoiler, or more of a surprise, so I won't talk about that here. There's another way that your boosting gets fed into a different mechanic later, which is also really satisfying, so that was great as well. I really like the relationship between Hazel and her mother. I really like Hazel's character. She really kind of stood out. I like what the voice actress did there as well. She was great. And again, that ending just... Because sometimes an ending can not ruin an experience necessarily, but, you know, not leave you with that great sort of final beat. But it just really put a nice bow and a nice just firm piece on the ending. I just really, really like the ending of this game a lot. And I thought it was maybe going to delve possibly into a different piece at the end, and it didn't, and I'm kind of glad that it didn't. I'll try to talk about that in the spoiler section as well. So, yeah, in case you couldn't tell, I haven't reviewed a video game for a while, because this is the first new game I finished this year. Same thing kind of happened last year to me, so I don't know. Even though this came out back in April, but it's a shame to see this game just didn't get more of a spotlight. I don't know if it's a Game Pass thing or a marketing thing, but until Robert mentioned it 2 weeks ago on Gaming Talk, I nearly did forget about it, which is a shame. Not because I wasn't excited or whatever, it just kind of disappeared a little bit, you know? So, anyway. What else do I need to talk about in the spoiler-free section here? There was a thing. Oh yeah, just to be again, be equal, be fair, and all that sort of stuff. There's three different ways this game progresses itself. One of which obviously is through gameplay. One of which is through the like animated cutscenes. One of them is through other types of cutscenes. I'm not sure how to describe them. They're like hologram sequences, well, not hologram, like echo ghost sort of sequences, and then also like not dream sequences but similar, that kind of similar thing. And then there's another method where you get told this story through a book. Now the book is my least favorite method of them doing the storytelling here, even though it's still very satisfying when a page gets flipped over, it says chapter, next one, and it again felt all very natural and all that sort of thing. I didn't always, now I don't think it's a problem, and I didn't like it either. I'm just genuinely very neutral about the idea, is when they do tell the story through that, it wasn't my favourite way for them to tell the story, but I don't think they did it badly, and I kind of understood why they also did it that way. Like, wasn't horrible, wasn't terrible, just wasn't my preference, that's all. But I understand why it was there. It was still done very well. Like, the actual, like, the animations of the book, the way things looked and that, like, it was done really well, so I can't complain about that. But, I guess it was because it was so different to the other ways. But I grew to get used to it, I suppose, as the game went on, and didn't have a problem with it in the first place, but I settled into the idea more as the game went on, because like I said, the game just gets better the more it goes on. So I would say so far, yes, this is my game of the year for 2025, but this is the first new game I've actually finished this year, so it's the only contender. I think next I'm going to go to... Is Avowed from this year? Let me just quickly check. Avowed. I think it is. February 18th. That's even older. That is... why does it not say the developer? Obsidian. Yeah. That's their game. So I'll be sticking with Game Pass for a bit. Didn't hear much about that game either. I don't know what's going on with Xbox games these days. But yeah, that'll be my next... I don't know if I'll finish the game, review it, or where I'll be at with it, but that'll be the next new thing I'll be playing anyway. So, there's that. For those of you who are spoiler-free, if you have any questions, comments, whatever else, you can, of course, ask me about them. Like, anything I didn't talk about, anything that I missed. But no, music's also really great. I did go and like buy the soundtrack as the credits were rolling. I went onto iTunes on my phone and bought the main theme tune for now. I'm going to try the other songs from the game, but I just wanted the main kind of theme tune for it. That's when you know you really liked something, right? When you finish it and you go and buy something related to it, like a song or a piece of merch or something. I wouldn't mind getting a t-shirt for this game. There probably isn't one. Let me have a very quick look. Because I could. All right. Yeah, I could get a custom one with something on the front, something on the back. Because I'm looking at the like poster, like the main image for it right now. That could look great on a t-shirt. So, anyway, just brilliant all around. I really enjoyed my time with this game. I loved the ending so much. Don't need a sequel. Of course, if they made a South of Midnight 2, I'd absolutely play it. I don't know where you'd go with it, but I would certainly play one, but I don't think that's going to happen, unfortunately. Yeah, just every aspect really great. Again, it does have the repetitive loop, but it actually makes sense here as to why you're doing it. So overall, a really, really great time. I really love this game. So anyway, if you have any thoughts, feelings, questions, comments on this game, if you played it, if you're not, if you're on PS5, by the way, this game's probably going to be on PlayStation within the year because Xbox keeps doing that. If you're on PC, obviously you can get it through Game Pass or you can buy it a la carte. You can do the same thing on Xbox. I haven't heard nothing about Switch. But yeah, Xbox and PC at the moment, and then probably PS5 at some point in the future. So highly recommend it, clearly. It's just brilliant all around, and it doesn't try too hard. So anyway, if you have any thoughts, feelings, questions, comments on South of Midnight, are you going to play it? If you did play it, did you like it somehow more than I did? Did you like it less than I did? Or are you aware of this game's existence? Because that wouldn't surprise me either. Whatever situation you're at with South of Midnight, let me know your thoughts. Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, social media, eTalk UK or Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org, TV, games, films, Man United podcasts. I didn't get around to seeing Superman this weekend. I had a bit of a strange weekend, but that should be next weekend. And then I think the weekend after that is Fantastic Four. So those are the next two film reviews. Game stuff, Avowed is going to be next. And then at some point Death Stranding 2, at some point Expedition 33. Those are not short games. So look out for those at some point, and then we're going to get, like, you know, a whole host of games between now and the end of the year, so look out for those. United Cast will be back next month, yippee, so look out for a United Cast preview within the next month or so. I'll probably need to do it at the start of August, so within about the next 2 weeks. Gaming Talk, if you do like video games, which I assume you kind of do in some way, shape, or form if you're listening to this. We do have a dedicated gaming podcast called Gaming Talk that should be out on Wednesdays. I'm sure I'll bring this game up as well. And if I have played any Avowed, I'll be talking about that there, plus all the news and what Robert's been playing as well. So you can listen to all of that. And then other podcasts we've got a whole host of them. So check those out. If you want to support us, you can, of course, listen to more things that we've done either on the site entertainmenttalk.org. or podcast platforms of the same name for TV, games, films, Man United podcast. If you want to support us in different ways, what are my social media? If someone mentions a thing we've podcasted on, please tell them about the podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers. Those are for the ad-free podcast and review options. Look at those as well. TV and film news. Geektown Radio is on a hiatus at the moment, so that will be back soon. But you can still check out geektown.co.uk for your TV and your film news, for the news posts, for all those things. And you can check us out on YouTube, Entertainment Talk Plays, as well. I recently did put up a bunch of me doing the newest Astrobot time trials, which I'll also be talking about this week as well on Gaming Talk. So, yeah, lots of stuff. Anyway, that's it for the spoiler-free section and the outro. The only thing left is the post-credits, I guess, if you want to call it. Spoiler section, so I'll see you for that on the other side. Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there. If you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. Alright, it's time for the spoiler section. If you've not seen South of Midnight, I'm going to spoil it. So if you don't want me to spoil it, go and play it, because it's really, really damn good. And I love it, so go and play it. Or if you have played it, hi, let's talk about the spoilers. I want to start at the ending. It's usually not always great to start at the ending, but I feel like a lot of reviewers do that anyway, or content creators, or whatever you want to call us. It just felt really satisfying. It just felt really, really satisfying, this ending, because you do the last boss fight in chapter 13. That felt really satisfying as like a last gameplay piece. And it's interesting that you do actually have a chapter that does the walking to the house take place in chapter 14? Because that's the only gameplay, the only actual act of gameplay, but you don't fight anything in chapter 14, because you're looking at her grandmother and the other guy, and okay, which one of them's gonna go bad, which one of not that I was like not gonna be happy about that, but I kind of wanted the game to do something. Not that I would have moaned about that necessarily, but I was curious if the game was gonna do something else, and it did. Which is, it didn't have you fight anybody, nobody else died in the story. Grandmother got taken away to like this special place where she can see her daughter again, and then you got all of the motherly and grief themes there as well. You make the last deal with that guy, you take the hairbrush to her, and it's actually a done deal rather than just, you know, ha ha ha, I'm gonna come back and get you, and you're going to fight and kill both of them. Again, not that I would have had a problem with that. It depends how well they would have done it. But sometimes we just need to make peace with each other. You know what I mean? So, like, I think her name's Beverly, isn't it? The grandmother. And then you have the wizardy guy. I'm just glad that none of them there chose to, like, take a last-minute turn and fight you, and then you have a boss fight against them, and you kill them, and it's sad, and then they have to die, and then it's more death on top of more grief and everything else. I think more stories should start kind of doing these things. And maybe I'm not experiencing the right stories, but you don't always have to end every story with, I'll fight the big bad person at the end, and you defeat them and win the day. That doesn't always have to be how you win the day. Like, everybody wins in this situation. Beverly gets to see her daughter again. I've forgotten the main character's name. Maeve, not Maeve. Hazel. They say it every time when you click on the right stick. Hazel, she gets to be back with her mother. They're there next to the car. The actual evil spirit thing that was chasing you is gone. All of the stigma. I love that that's called stigma, by the way, as well. That's seemingly all gone because Beverly's, like, walked away. It doesn't have to be because she's died. Your toad friend is still hanging around. Your doll friend that you've got is still hanging around. The mother lived. You just don't always have to. Whether it would have been Hazel killing one of those two to save Mum and Mum lives, or the Mum dies, Hazel has to kill the one that did it, and then that sort of bittersweet saves the day. You just don't always have to end your story with killing things. So I just love that the four of them, which is the wizardy kind of guy, the grandmother, Hazel herself, and Mother, I'm just glad that they all just lived. They all just, like, just came to a resolution. I just thought it was really nice. And then just that last shot of them standing next to this house, seeing the stigma all go away, and you know that they're just going to get in the car, go home, and just hopefully live in some peace. Don't we just want peace? I mean, not to get too, like, you know, real world dramatic about it, but the world's not a peaceful place right now. It really, really just isn't, for a lot of different reasons. So it was just nice. And maybe it's because of the world that we live in that I sort of feel this way, although we should, regardless of the state of the actual real world, we should all want more peace. Because not everything has to be resolved through, I have to kill you to make myself, my life better. You can come to a resolution. Because you could have had something like, Beverly sees the comb, it reminds her of her daughter, she starts raging because of the reasons she's just explained, and then she asks Hazel why she's brought the brush back, and then you start fighting her, and it's very different that you go into a last chapter of a game, and it's literally about 15 minutes. The walk to the house, the cutscene, and the credits is like 10-15 minutes. But I just really loved that. And then just that last moment, that last shot, you know, everybody's peaceful. And then you have the post-credit scene where Laurent, I think his name is, who also went through a lot. Because everybody went through a lot in this game, didn't they? She's going to go for dinner. She glides off one last time. You see the peaceful tree. The toad friend is there. He's fine. Everything's fine. And she glides off, and she's just going to go have dinner with her mum and a friend. It was just really nice. You don't always have to have the most bittersweet or sad. It's emotional in a good way, because it's happy emotional, right? But I just liked it. It was peaceful. I just do really like that. So that's just really nice. So yeah, from here, where would you go with a sequel? That's the thing, it would kind of, a sequel would, because there's no threat left, right, at all, because all the stigma which created all those monsters, that's all gone, right? Yeah, so I just wouldn't really want sort of, oh, there's another monster and it's causing havoc and the piece has been undone, because you just ended it really peacefully and really nicely. So that was really, really great. I could have gone through, like, all the characters, talked about all of their different stories. Obviously you've got, like, just a lot of grief all round. But most of the characters, not all of them, do get some peaceful endings. Laurent kind of does, because you get rid of the bird thing for him and you help him out. I loved Hazel throughout the story as well, kind of doing that, because she didn't really want to kill anything necessarily. Even with, not Beverly, was it Beth or something? The Spider Woman character who was trying to help people, but Hazel didn't kind of realize, and then Beverly got involved and Beverly killed her. Not a peaceful ending there, but, like, you could sort of bring cycles of violence into it, because, like, okay, Beverly killed her, then does that mean Hazel has to kill Beverly, and then it just goes on and on, and that's just where that peaceful theme comes into it, which I really liked. There's also the bit as well with, the troll friend that you come across, and the, I don't know how to describe her, but the mother that, lost her baby, and the baby got turned, from what I understand from the story, the baby got turned into the troll, and they both kind of, like, they hug peacefully, and, like, their spirits go away, and it clears that up. That was really beautifully done. This is a really beautiful game as well. There is violence, there is death. It's not always nice, but there's beautiful parts to this story which I really liked as well. So just really, really lovely. Yeah. What else do I need to talk about in the spoiler section? The one line that reminded me of The Last of Us. I can't remember it line beat for beat, but I was in The Last of Us 1 when he's having a conversation with Ellie, and this isn't really a spoiler for Last of Us, it's just one of the many lines. And they're both talking about loss, basically, Joel and Ellie, at a particular point in the first game and the first season. And they're not comparing their loss to each other, but they're both kind of just describing their grief. And Ellie's like, you know, I've lost people too. And Joel goes, you have no idea what loss is. And it's just brilliant. And Beverly at the end, when she's talking about her lost daughter and saying that, you know, that the heart didn't work and she's mad about it. And then she sees bad parents who don't deserve their kids. Because that is really a sad thing in the world. Before I get into that. And I can't remember it line for line. I think I did make a clip of it. Let me just load my Xbox app while I continue talking. She says something similar. It's not. She doesn't say you have no idea what loss is, which is what Joel says. But she says something to do with loss, and then she mentions about. I need to log in. Great. I'm just gonna do an edit here. Hang on. Alright, that took me a long time. The Xbox app would not work for the life of it. I tried different stuff, so I just found the cutscene on YouTube. I'm going to play this into the mic.
I heard your baby spirit crying in a tree. She was in pain. I did everything I could to help her.
In pain? Or just in your way? You have no idea what loss feels like.
You have no idea what loss is. You have no idea what loss is.
That's the line. You have no idea what loss feels like. Yeah, just reminding me of The Last of Us because of the Joel and Ellie scene. Anyway, I just really like that. I just, just thought it was really good. So I'm going to now seek out a t-shirt and probably listen to the song while, obviously not while I'm editing this podcast, but while I'm uploading it. So, good stuff. Good stuff indeed. So anyway, I'll probably mention this game again on Wednesday and we'll go from there. Anyway, thank you very much for listening and I will see you next time. Goodbye.